The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Sometimes you just got to feel better. No, feel worse to feel better. It's all part of my strategy. Temporary pain for long-term gain. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. A little bit of an oxymoron there. 57 is diversity, Heinz 57. Equal, of course, we're all just winners here. So 57 equal, 877, 57 equal. I'm a little rattled right now, but I'll get back to it here. Thanks are in order. Very special thanks. Dynamic Women of Faith Conference in Toronto with Dorothy and all the gang. What a wonderful group that was. They even let me into Canada. And the wonderful folks at St. James the Greater in Augusta, Kansas, and Father John and Bob and Janet, all of you, three-night mission there. What a wonderful time that was. Thank you guys for thinking of me and asking me out there. Okay, program, call-in program. As I said, the number, 877-57-EQUAL, to get onto the program, ask questions about. If you're a guy, you can ask questions about stuff. If you're a woman, you could ask questions about issues. That's right. The only issues I have are modern tank repair and battleship monthly. Well, I do have tire iron weekly, but to get on to the program, if you have something in your life that matters to you, perplexes you, confuses you, you wonder about, want to put your head next to mine, maybe we can do a Mr. Spock mind meld from the old television series Star Trek. Hey, just, I don't want your IQ pulling mine down. I want to be able to pull yours up. Okay. Now, you can also offer suggestions for someone else, or you can ask a generic question. Doesn't have to be particular about a person. It could be generic. Enough of that. After talks, I usually become a bit of a money changer in the temple. I go over and sit behind my book table, and folks come over, taking a look at the books and see what they want to buy. And a lot of them ask me questions. They'll say, can I ask you a question? And I go, you just did. Can I ask you another one? I go, there it is. You just did. See, they never get ahead. They have to say, can I ask you two questions? Because they just used the first one up, asking me if they could ask me. I say, sure, step into my office. And I noticed, somewhat recently it hit me, how many parents come to me who are badly, verbally mistreated by their children. I grew up in a household that the cardinal sin was being disrespectful to your parents. Now, perhaps one may make a generalization about ethnicity. I was Italian, 100% Italian. My parents were second generation. All their parents came straight from Italy. You didn't disrespect. You didn't mistreat your parents. You just didn't do it. It was unthinkable. You were raised with it from day one. So there's a part of me that is carrying my own personal upbringing with me regarding this. But the bigger part of me was confused. On one hand, parents permit it. And I've wrestled with all the reasons why they do, and we've talked about that before on this program. On the other hand, I think the Lord was quite infinitely wise when honor thy father and mother. And there was a penalty in the Old Testament. If you upbraided your parents in public, you could be eligible for stoning. You know that? Nowadays, when kids upbraid their parents, they're just stoned. In those days, they were stoned. So, it strikes me, that kind of disrespect does enormous damage to relationships. Our Lord knew it. The parents will describe to me how their kids talk to them. The nonverbal ugliness, the back looks that their kids give them. And I listen. And I think to myself, how did it get here? How did it get to this point? Why is this now such a common pattern in your home? In your interaction with that child? What is it? And it also occurs to me that if any other adult would talk to you as a parent like that child does, you might struggle real hard to forgive them. At the very least, you wouldn't want to be around them. You would say, I don't want that friendship. I'm tired of being friends with somebody that every time I say or do something they don't like, they get snotty. They get abrasive. They get ugly. I don't need that. You're not responsible for your friends or even your family members. You are responsible for your kids. Your prime duty is to raise them well. And allowing them to talk like that does them absolutely no favors. You know what else it does? I know you don't think so, but it is at the very core of defiance. If I can mistreat you, if I can talk to you in ways that you would talk to no other human being on earth, it says something about our relationship. It says, I don't have to listen to you. You don't have authority over me. Who are you to tell me? What's with you? You're clueless. What's wrong with you? I drag you down to an immature level with me. I have an excuse for being 8 years old. I'm 8 years old. But if I talk to you that way, I can bring you down to my level. And you don't have an excuse. You're 36. It has always perplexed me. I'm out places among colleagues or friends, parents in general. I don't say a word. I know better. But I listen. I cringe. I can only imagine what my parents would have done had I done something like that to them. Never thought of it because it was just unthinkable. Now it is, well, it is the current in parent-child relationship. I don't get it. I do get it. But part of it is, I know parents they've lost a lot of authority. I know that. There's been just an overall cult erosion of authority among parents. I think part of it is parents think that, well, it's not that bad. You know, I mean, he's not cussing at me. He's not throwing bricks. It's just a snotty tone of voice. You know, I mean, don't like 14-year-old girls do that. I mean, like, you know. I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is they just got used to it. My youngest daughter, when she was 17, rolled her eyes at her mother and said, yeah, right. Now, maybe it was a leftover response from when I was growing up in an Italian household. It shot through my spine that she would talk to her mother that way. I did do something about it. I didn't just say, you will not talk that way, young lady, because if I just did that, then I would have allowed it. And oftentimes that's what parents think. We will not tolerate that kind of tone of voice, young lady. You just tolerated it because you just said you wouldn't tolerate it, but you didn't do anything about it. When we interviewed strong families around the country for one of my old books, Back to the Family, do you know the number one theme in their households? Admirable, solid, responsible families, nominated by teachers as the best families they'd ever seen. Do you know their number one house rule was respect? They expected it and they enforced it. It was not just a matter of, well, you're not going to talk to me that way. Well, I just did. Well, you're not gonna. I just did. Yes, boys, I can see it. You're right there. I see it all. See all the calls. You did it. I think parents need to have some of their strictest rules regarding disrespect. And I'm talking any kind of disrespect. Yeah, right, Mom. That's terrible. That's terrible. Think about this. You folks asked me a question on this program. And we talk a little bit. And at the end of it, I go, yeah, whatever. Right. I guarantee you'd never call me again. There's no question about that. You'd never call me again. No matter what I told you before, no matter how helpful you might have thought it would have been, I would have invalidated it because I demeaned you. I was disrespectful. We let our children do this. I think you ought to sit down with your kids and say, you know, I'm sorry. I've been allowing this to go on too long. Sorry. We've got a new house rule. No tolerance for disrespect. And here's what we're going to do about it. Whatever. You know, one of the families in Back to the Family, you know what they said? Any sign of disrespect. Automatic 24-hour shutdown. Automatic. Everything, all privileges wiped out for 24 hours. I asked, what if they get snotty during the 24 hours? Mom said, I reset the clock. It perplexes me. And sometimes I get frustrated because there's no reason that these parents, and these are good people, should be having this kind of child-rearing experience. And you know what part of it is? Part of it is that other people tell them how good their kids are, how nice their kids are, how wonderful their kids are, what good student kids are, what admirable children they're raising. So they hear that. And they guess, well, okay, I guess I'm doing okay then, huh? Tolerate a little disrespect and all this other stuff looks positive. Are you kidding me? I'm speaking to all you mothers out there. You do more for those children than everybody in the world put together. You deserve the best treatment of anyone. They would never disrespect their teacher like that, or their coach, or maybe their employer, but they do it to their mother? Are you kidding me? That's your mom! No, I don't want to take a break. I'm on a roll. You guys are being disrespectful. 877-573-7825. You know, these guys nag me. Take a break. Take a break. No. There. I'm taking a break.
Wherever there is injustice, you will find us. Wherever there is suffering, we'll be there.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia, where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
Got a problem and need some help. Got a situation and need an out. Call our number. The doctor is in with Dr. Ray. Got an answer for you. You're gonna do, just call him up and sit on down. Wait to get on the show. He's got the advice you need. Don't even have to pay, beg, or plead. He's your daytime funny psychologist. He's Dr. Ray.
The doctor is in.
Dr. Ray.
The doctor is in.
Oh, Dr. Ray.
Dr. is in.
Dr. Ray.
There's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is, if I don't get any calls, it leads to the good news. Eric Dumont has all kinds of time to put together those little ditties. Because that's my call screamer, Eric, who put that together. I didn't know it was coming. I had never heard it. I was waiting. He braced me. I think that's cool. And but that's interesting because that sounds like music from maybe the 40s. That kind of rhythmic beat, that kind of big band sound. Are you saying something there, Eric? Huh? Thank you. That was really nice. Let's go to Joe from Boise, Idaho. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Thanks for the call. How can I help?
I emailed you a few weeks back. I was having some medical issues, and I asked, what could I do or say to make sure my wife didn't leave the faith if I passed away?
You think it's that serious that you are at life-threatening risk?
Well, at the time, I thought it was, but it came back, and it wasn't cancerous after a while, but she took it really, really hard, and she was... I just wanted to make sure I would tell her, you know, if I do pass away, it does get serious, you know, don't leave the faith. You still need to be a mom to the kids. And when they have kids, you know, you need to be a grandma. But Dr. A, she took it pretty hard. And I just don't want her to leave the faith. Cause I've seen that many, many times when the husband passes away and the wife leaves the faith, and it just trickles on down to the kids, adult kids.
Do you think she would have been mad at God that God ripped her off, God took her husband from her, and she didn't want to have anything to do with a God like that?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it.
Did you get a chance to talk to her about that and say none of this is God's fault, it's not his doing?
I did. I told her, you know, I wouldn't be the first husband to pass away before his wife does, but... I don't know. We went out to dinner this past weekend, and you know, it came up again where she was like, you know, if like something did happen to me, all of a sudden she'd be upset. You know, she'd be mad.
This is interesting. I would talk to her about this idea that she has about God, that somehow there's stuff bad happening all around, like you said, but that doesn't make her want to leave God. But if something would happen to her or to you, then she would want to leave God. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How strong is her faith? Maybe her faith isn't very strong.
She does pretty good. I mean, she comes to meet with church every week, and, you know, she's learning different prayers, and she's really studying her Beatitudes right now. She's good. It's just, I don't know why, when we got that news, she just took it really hard.
Do you think, Joe, that she is at the point in her relationship with God, with Jesus, that it's still kind of immature, and she hasn't really gotten to the point where she realizes that there is suffering in the world? Suffering happens to a lot of people. Bad things do happen to good people. That's one of the great mysteries of our faith. And she hasn't gotten to the point yet where God's bigger than that. He's not somebody up there that's going to make sure nothing bad ever happens to her or her loved ones. That seems to kind of again, that's kind of a very young view of God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As she becomes more faithful, she will also become less delicate in her faith. She won't be so quick to say, well, something bad better happen or God's gonna face my wrath.
Yeah.
And I think you can also tell her, you can say, you know what, sweetheart? Wait a minute. You know, don't turn your back on the God I love too. If there's a heaven and it's my time to go, I'm not going to be mad at him, and I don't want you to be. That would break my heart. Do it for me. Stay faithful for me and the kids, and then in time, the faith will become your own.
Okay.
See, I don't think you're going to convince her of anything. I think more or less this is just a matter of her becoming a little more in the faith. Now, do you think she's sort of gone through the motions? Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I pray. Okay, I do all that stuff. But man, a powerful knockout blow, like something happening to somebody I love. Now God's gone a little too far.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. I don't know. I felt bad for her because, like I say, Dr. Ray, she took it really hard. There was a few weeks where she was just, you know, she was sad.
Well, there's a difference between being sad, Joe, and turning your back on God. Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can grieve. She can be scared. She could even wonder, you know, why did God permit this? But the problem with the answer to that question is that, well, clearly all kinds of bad stuff happens. All over the world, all over the place, to everybody, pretty much of the time. So if our of God is going to depend upon how nice we think he is to us, or those we love, boy, we're in big trouble. We better just hope nothing bad happens, because we'll dump God as fast as you can say God.
Okay.
There's a lot of good books out there that wrestle with this whole idea of why does this kind of suffering happen? Why do good people get sick? Why do young people die early? Why is there trauma in people's lives? There's a lot of books out there. You know, I would suggest you do some good searching. Go to Catholic.com. It's a Catholic Answers website, and type that question in.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe. I'm glad you're okay, buddy. Real glad you're okay.
So am I. Thank you, man. Dr. Ray, I want to tell you, you're my second favorite Italian person.
Who's one?
Teresa.
What? I don't even think she's 100% Italian.
I love Teresa. She's awesome, especially when she gets mad.
You know, Joe, I wanted to help you out. But if I knew you were going to tell me that Tommy's your favorite Italian, I wouldn't have taken the call. Thanks, buddy. God bless, man. I would have. Come on. 877-573-7825. Where did she go? Oh, yeah, that is true, Sharon. You're absolutely right on that. You're right because you agree with me. You ever notice that? People say, oh, Dr. Ray, I just think you're so good. And I go, yeah, that's because you agree with me. If you didn't agree with me, you wouldn't think that.
stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
completely... As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently won an important case in federal court in Toledo, Ohio. For too long, city police officers were enforcing local and state laws to prohibit pro-lifers from engaging in free speech activity on the public sidewalks outside of a local abortion center. In our case, the court issued an order prohibiting the city and its police officers from enforcing any local or state law as applied to the expressive activity of pro-life demonstrators, including our clients. This is yet another victory for the First Amendment in a case where a city and its police officers were abusing their authority to silence peaceful pro-life demonstrators to appease those engaged in the baby-killing business. As the court's order demonstrates, the Constitution protects our clients' pro-life activity from such abuse. The government has no authority to silence our client's speech simply because they are preaching the gospel on a public sidewalk next to an abortion center. Indeed, this victory is yet another blow to the abortion industry, which has too often relied on the government to promote and support its bloody business by silencing those who oppose it. The actions of the city of Toledo and its officers in this case were deplorable, and they violated our client's fundamental rights. We stop this egregious activity in Toledo, and we intend to stop it wherever it raises its ugly head. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Lots of calls up there, and we're trying to get to all of you. At this point, all women, all ladies, a very lopsided, sensitive show today. I'll try to balance out the sensitivity of the ladies with a little bit of a virile strength on this direction. I don't know if I can do it. There's an awful lot of ladies up there. Let's see. Cindy from Bismarck, she is alluding to something that I said in a recent book. I talked about closing the book, and Cindy says, well, yeah, but Dr. A, you talked about that with people, meaning if you know what somebody's like, quit distressing yourself over what they're like. But Cindy has a little twist on this. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I do have a question about that on the past. Can we close the book on the past?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I was thinking if we keep those past mistakes alive, that would help us learn from mistakes.
Well, are you saying, Cindy, there's a big difference, I think, between not learning from the past and clinging to the emotional repercussions of the past, like guilt and shame and feelings of ineptitude. Okay, that's one thing. But if you learn mistakes, there's the assumption is you don't need ugly emotions trailing them, do you?
No, maybe that's what it is.
Do you think that you have to have associated bad emotions with things you've done wrong in the past in order to not do them again?
Mm-hmm.
Like an emotional push or something?
Maybe.
Huh. Well, the problem with that is you're carrying a lot of junk with it. Let's take an extreme here. Let's say that you have come to the Catholic faith, and when you were 19 years old, you had an abortion. Okay? Now, from that abortion, now at age whatever you are, not you, Cindy, but let's say a young woman, 29, says, oh my, I've learned so much since. I've learned so much about that. I regret it terribly, etc. But if you're paralyzed, if you are paralyzed by the thought of what you did, if it continues to beat on your peace, if it continues to drag you down, you can't be the person that God would want you to be because of that. Yeah, you do need to close the book on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing some mathematics here, and given my age, I probably could come up with maybe, 50, 60, 70,000 mistakes in my life. And I'm not being facetious, okay? Now, I hope their cumulative effect made me learn. Because a lot of the mistakes I make are in the same area, you know? You say something you shouldn't say. or you brag about yourself. And after you do it a little bit later, you go, I didn't need to say that. That's dumb. Why did I say that? I'm not going to do that anymore. And then a day later, you do it again. I want to learn from that stuff. But I also want to close the book on the bad feelings that come from God not forgiving me. Because he does forgive you. You know, and if you don't forgive yourself, well, now you're going against what God wants you to do. So, close the book on the emotions, okay. The bad ones.
Cool. Okay.
But learn from that's how you grow. You know. Thanks, Cindy. Okay. I appreciate it.
Good advice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Mm-hmm. Bye. I am coming out to Louisville on Saturday. I'm looking forward to seeing you folks down there at the school. I got to get my book at the break, and I'll get more details on that. Susan from AM, I think that's 740 there in Cincinnati, Ohio, Sacred Heart. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, dear. How are you?
Oh, good.
Susan? Nobody's ever really totally good when they call me. You know that?
No, that's not true.
All right.
That's not true. I'm very grateful to God for all he's done. I just, you know, I'm struggling with something, but no, I'm doing good. My question is, I got out of an abusive alcoholic marriage, and I'm in my 50s, and now I've been dating a gentleman for the last year, and he's a wonderful person. He's even going to the RCIA to become Catholic. But in the last year, I feel that I don't know if they're emotions or feelings, but I feel that maybe at times my feeling towards him is shifting more to not being that ooh-ah, wow, like romantic kind of feeling, that it might be more of a, I love you as a person kind of a feeling, but I don't have any like romantic excitement at this point for him. And I don't know if it's because we are doing the right thing and we're being chased, you know, if we decide to get married. But that scares me because I know that when I was married, even though he was an abusive alcoholic, I know that, like, when he kissed me, it was fireworks. You know, I loved him. I was attracted to him. He was a very handsome man. This gentleman's more average looking, but he's a wonderful person. And I just feel like I should have some romantic connection towards him. And my mom has said, well, you're too old now anyway. It doesn't matter.
So, in the beginning, did you? In the beginning, did you?
Yeah, in the beginning I did. But I noticed that I'm picking him apart a little bit. And I'm trying not to compare him to my very handsome husband that I had in the past. But I just know that. I mean, I know I care for him and I love him, but I'm worried about, like, I need this physical attraction kind of a thing, and I'm not sure I have it, or if it's maybe because the fires are not obviously there because we're doing the right thing and waiting till we get married. So that does scare me, because I wouldn't want to marry somebody that I didn't have that physical attraction to the way that I think you're supposed to have. So I'm going to...
Well, this whole idea of physical attraction... is a relatively new cultural thing.
Oh.
In much of human history, marriages were for all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And physical attraction and quote-unquote romantic love was oftentimes not high on the list. I needed you to be a partner. I needed you as companionship. You needed me. I killed food. You needed me for protection. Stay there, Susan. Don't go away. I will be right back. 877-573-7825. That's the number to call. Dr. Ray.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Do you know the best way to get kids to obey? Remain calm. In the words of St. John Bosco, quote, show your children that uncontrolled emotion plays no part in your actions. They will respect you for that, and their respect will prompt their obedience, end quote. It turns out research agrees. In fact, studies show that the louder you yell, the less kids listen to what you say, and the more they just treat you like you're crazy. That might cause kids to keep their heads down around you, but it won't help them learn from you. Remaining calm helps you become the parent your kids want to learn from instead of just avoid. Need help developing calm discipline strategies? Check out Parenting with Grace, the Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Dr. Ray Grady here. Thank you for joining me Monday through Friday. Once again, thanks to the dynamic women of faith up in Toronto, Canada. Everybody says A after everything up in Canada. Did you notice that? So you're going out, eh? And I'm wondering, maybe that's because the way they spell their country. C-A-N-A-D-A? Anyway, thanks, ladies. And then also the wonderful people at St. James the Greater Catholic Parish in Augusta. Lived in a hotel for 3 days, but I always like to go down and have hotel breakfast because it's free, you know, and I just kind of sit there and sip coffee. And I found a buffet. Had to do some searching, but I found one. Talking to Susan, and she has a question. I'm assuming that Susan is in a moral position to be able to get married. I'm just from the way she talked this. He's gone through RCIA, so imagine they've talked to the priest. She says, I'm dating a guy that doesn't have the same spark for me that my former partner did, who was an alcoholic and very nasty. However, she really, really liked him. And she says, now I'm nervous because I don't have that kind of spark for this guy that I did for my other fella who really mistreated me. Oh, Susan, you're talking to a shrink, man. That makes me real nervous that you say stuff like that.
No, that's not fair. I was simply referring to the physical.
Well, yeah. Okay, but still, how long can the physical have pizzazz if the guy's mistreating you like crazy? I would think the physical would have died.
Well, no, I know that, and it has, and that's why we're not together anymore. But my point is, it's, I don't want to focus on that. My point is, doesn't there have to be that somewhat of a physical attraction, romantic, like, gosh, I want you to kiss me kind of feeling?
No, put it simply, no.
Why not?
Well, because, first of all, to ask that, there are a ton of elderly people who have been married 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and the physical attraction is long gone, okay? But what is left is a deep, admiring respect, all of that, okay? Now, in your case, this is what I'm going to say. If there is in you something that says, I have to have that feeling or I'm not sure exactly how this will all unfold.
All right.
Then you better think long and hard about being with this guy. Because I would guess that as the relationship progresses, you would have a harder time investing yourself in it. That's the first thing. If you say to yourself, no, I don't need that. Physical attraction is down on my list. I don't need that. There are many, many other things that attract me to this man. Much more so than just the physical, and that will content me, and that's where I want to be. There's an awful lot of folks. I mean, most of the people I look at. My wife said something once. She said, "We're all just average looking," and I thought about that, and she's right. And I look at all the folks that have these beautiful marriages, and there's no physical attraction anymore. They're just average folks. Maybe they're older. Maybe they've gained weight. Maybe they don't have their youthful attraction anymore. None of us do as you get older. I had one lady say to me one time at age 70, we all look the same. So there's some truth to that. So it depends what you want. I mean, if you're looking, I can't tell you. I can't say, come on, Susan, you have to value other things. I can't say that because I don't know if you can. But if you say to yourself, the physical would be great, but it is not going to be something that's going to ruin this relationship for me, and I'm still going to commit myself and be a wonderful wife, then go for it. But if you're saying to yourself, I don't know, I got all kinds of doubts, and I just don't feel comfortable, and I'm not sure how I'll feel 2 years from now going through this for another 2 years, then don't go for it.
Will God give you that if you pray for it?
I don't know. Perhaps not. What he may give you is a different view of the relationship.
Right.
He may not give you the spark pizzazz that you want, but he may give you
No.
But I would say wait and see here, because you don't want to get into a marriage with this guy and then all of a sudden think to yourself, oh boy, what a drag this is. I really don't have any attraction to this guy, and I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. Because I think human nature, you would get distant or maybe short, or maybe intolerant, or maybe your eyes would wander. I don't know. But
yeah,
if you're not committed to the relationship for all the right reasons, you're asking for some risk. Thank you, Susan. Good luck to you, dear. Good luck to you. I got to run.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Zaina from Massachusetts, her son, tells on himself. Now, Zaina, I don't want to say nothing, and don't take this personal. Are you there, dear?
I am. I'm here.
What a dummy.
he's so sweet. It's so cute. But I don't understand.
Well, he's got a real powerful conscience. His conscience makes him squeal.
And it's always like at the same time. I'll send him to go take a shower, and he'll say, Mama, can you come in here?
I got to tell you what I did. I set fire to the cat.
He tells me what he did. And
right.
And some of the things are little and fine. And then other things are like, you know, I don't want him. Like, there's two things that I really don't want him to do. Because just one is to jump off his bunk bed. So I've told him that a million times. Says, Mama, I jumped off my bunk bed today. And I'm like, okay, Tony, I don't want him to hurt himself. Second is trading food at school, and I told him don't ever take candy from anybody because you don't know, because drugs now, they look like candy, and my heart sinks. You know, he's 9. You don't know what's going on in the school. Mama, I had candy from my friend today, you know, and I'm sorry, Mama. But So do I punish him for this stuff?
I wouldn't punish him for the little stuff. I would discipline him for something he does wrong, though. For example, let's say he comes to you, he says, "Hey, Mom, I'm jumping off the bunk bed." And yep. I'd say, "Well, what'd you do? Did you do a triple Lindy? Did you do a belly smack? What kind of dive did you do there, son?" I would say, "Tony, I can't have you doing that because you can get hurt. So, son, I'm gonna have you stand in the corner. I'm going to have you go to bed early. I'm going to do something about that." Now, what'll happen, some people would say, "Well, you're okay," and then he'll stop telling you. Well,
that's what my mother said. Yeah.
Well, all right, so he'll stop telling me. You know, I go to the judge, and I say, "You know, Judge, I just got to tell you, I stole that car. But I'm sorry." And the judge will say, "Oh, well, then don't worry about it. I'm glad you told me. Because, you know, really, I don't want to punish you for stealing the car because, well, then don't tell me anymore. So, okay, I'm not going to do anything about it." Would he do that?
Yeah, see, this is why I'm calling you, because I listen to you every day, and I hear that, you know, we're developing them for the future and getting them used to the life out there. And I said, geez, like you said, you know, one time, I'm his mother, and they're not going to love him like his mother, you know? So they're not going to have mercy on him like his mother. So I have
just
to
tell him. Tell him, Zaina, tell him. Tony?
Yes.
Come to me and tell me those things, honey. I got to decide how serious it is.
Yeah.
If I think it's something that I got to do something about, then I'm going to do something about it. And I thank you for telling me. That's awful sweet of you. I'll give you a big hug and a kiss. But, honey, I got to do something about that. I can't not. You know, your kid may be slicker than you think, Zaina.
Can I tell you the other thing, too? Because he is a little con artist. He'll come sit next
okay,
to Mama,
that's right. He may come to you and figure, "I know my mom. Yeah. If I just tell her, this is good. I don't have to worry about getting caught. Hey, I got to run a pass break, but that's my suggestion
there,
dear." This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
Every caller to the doctor is in will be treated with respect, sensitivity, compassion, and empathic, unconditional regard by Andrew Kuchek, the program's official phone picker upper and call screamer. In the highly unlikely event that Andrew does not awaken to answer the phone when a call is pouring in, please hang up and try your call again. If you wish to speak to an operator or even to a 9-year-old girl who will sympathize with your plight, please hold, and Dr. Ray's daughter will be with you shortly. Anybody I don't get to, please call back. You will be first up on future shows. It's really nice to have a lot of, but then I feel terrible at the end of the show because there's folks up there who wanted to talk, and they were patient enough to wait the whole program. I don't even listen to me the whole program. So I do thank you for all of that. Linda from Aurora, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. That's Catholic Radio Network. They got that 50,000-watt torch station. Hi, Linda. How's it going?
Oh, I've been better, I can tell you that. I kind of want to talk about what you were talking about before about kids disrespecting their parents. And I have three kids. They're grown. They're like 49, 48, and 46 years old. They're real close together. Their dad, we were married 28 years. He cheated on me and ended up marrying the woman.
Well, I'll tell you what, dear. I know I'm going to have to hurry along. You only have a few minutes.
Okay.
So tell me why you think your kids. Tell me why you think your kids.
Because they tell me that. They tell me they don't like me. My daughter tells me.
And what is wrong with you?
A mess.
Okay. What is wrong with you?
I don't think there's anything wrong. And other people, like people I work with. They tell me what a nice person I am, and. You know, it's just my kids.
All three of them?
My second son, he's the only one that's kind of nice. Well, he's nice to me.
What have they told you? Now, and I'm going to say this because I'm not trying to blame you, but when you have adult kids not want to be around a parent, the kids may be totally unreasonable. That happens a lot. But sometimes it's things that the parents do, and I'm not saying the parent is totally at fault. Of course not. The kids can be quite intolerant. Mm-hmm. But the parent has to know what it is that the kids are saying, I really don't want to have much to do with you, Mom. And you got to get specifics. Do you know? Do they think you're too religious? Do they think that you messed their dad up? What do they think? Where's all this ill will coming from?
I've asked them that many times, and I told them the only thing I can think of is they're mad at me because I spent all my
alimony. Now, wait a minute. Stop right there, sweetheart. Stop right there. You said, okay. I asked them that, and then you said, the only thing I can think of. No, what did they say?
They didn't say anything. They won't talk to me. I call my oldest son and text him. He will not respond to the phone or the text. The only one that responds is my other son.
I have no explanation for that, dear. If he is going to choose to write you out of their life, and they won't tell you why, for whatever the reason, you're helpless. There's nothing you can do. Basically keep contact here and there however you wish, knowing you'll probably not get any response, but at the very least you can live with yourself and say, well, I've tried and I've been trying periodically and they simply won't soften. You can do that, but in terms of saying, okay, what can I do to make them come around, I don't know.
Well, I know that they don't want to help me out. They don't want to give me any money for food. I'm moving next Friday for the fifth time in 11 months.
They think your life's a mess, don't they?
Well, because I can't afford. Everybody wants their rent on the first, and I don't get my Social Security check until the third Wednesday of the month.
Your kids
and
think
so
that your life, Linda. Let me jump in here. Your kids think that your life's a mess, and their attitude is, "I don't want to help Mom out because she just messes stuff up." Is that it?
Well, but it's not my fault. I can't help it if they want their rent on the first.
Well, see, the problem is, it may not be your fault. But your kids are looking at this like it is. And I don't know what the reality is, dear. I don't know. I would simply say, do what you can to let them know you still love them, whether it's a drop them a note every so often, however you choose to do that. But recognize You can't make anybody like you. You can't. Thank you for the call, dear. I wish I could tell you more about that. Do I have enough time? I don't think I do. Nope. Looking real close here, Andrew. Unless I got the wrong computer time. Yeah, that's what I thought. Computer is right on. All of you that I didn't get to, please call back. You'll be first up. There's a bunch of folks there I didn't get to. Forgive me. Global apology. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Eric. And for your mellifluous, tonificent concoctions, Eric. Thank you. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand. And even though when they get older, they might not want to hold your hand anymore.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.